networking, and they're coming to this room right after our class. So if you're in one of those majors, networking, forensics, security, those are the ones they're most interested in. Okay. So Tuesday we saw the guy that's interested in programming. Now we're seeing the guy that's in, or the woman actually that's coming in, that's interested in networking. Here we are. Okay. Bring up Visual Basic. The two that I want you to download, because the two that I'm going to be looking at are the ones that say read and write. They're the bottom two. Okay, so these are the ones I want you to look at, Project Write and Read Project. So we're looking for Project Write and Read. Okay, decided it doesn't want me to write anymore. Wonderful. I need to write a bunch. So those are the two that I would like you to download, and I would like you to bring up Visual Basic.
Is Visual Studio and Visual Basic different?
Visual Studio contains Visual Basic, and it also contains C. So there are multiple languages within Visual Studio.
So Visual Basic should load quicker than there's less stuff. Why you choose to use Visual?
I mean, I just use Visual Basic, yes. Essentially, it lets you set it up once you've loaded it as to which language you want to use. Okay, so download those two.
Yeah.
I downloaded them, but now I'm looking over where it's supposed to be, and it says it's not there. Where did you put them?
Local C downloads. I'm even checking, that's what it says.
Is it looking download?
Yeah, local C downloads. Right? Local C downloads, no items.
Because you're in the wrong downloads. It's, it should be up there.
Local
right
C
downloads,
no, right favorite. There, favorites. Yeah, I don't understand.
Oh, it's still not in there? It's weird. Did you hit open or save? Because sometimes the Firefox can get open.
I think I did save. Well, why don't you go back and redo
it? Yeah, download it again. But in Firefox, you can, if you want, you can download it directly to your desktop in Firefox. That's what's cool about Firefox.
Yeah, no, she is. But it still doesn't seem to.
See, it doesn't say where to save it on.
I know, and it doesn't allow me to pick it where to save it to.
What you do is you go in here.
Yeah, okay.
And then you're going to go to show all downloads.
Yeah.
And that's where it is.
Right.
So now,
but then if you go over there, it's not there.
There's a button that says show in folder.
It's not there.
Open container folder right there. See where it went. It should show you where it went.
See, but now try to get it out of Visual Basic.
Yeah, you got to extract it to your desktop or somewhere and then open it because it's still.
Okay, so I'm going to go in and I'm going to open the one that says write. So I'm saying file, open project, and I'm going to show the one that says write. And if you don't have it, then just kind of watch what I'm doing. Okay, first of all, you've got a different path if you look at yours. I'm going to change the path. The name of the file, because this is the file name I used before, so I'm just going to call it Stu F14. Okay, so that's what I'm going to end up calling it. But what I've got here is I said I wanted to go onto the file. I'm creating a file, and I'm writing a file, and I wanted to go onto the G drive. And then I created a folder called Info. If you don't want it in a folder, that's fine. But I wanted it in a folder, so I created on the G drive a folder called Info. And then it is going to write stuf14.txt in the directory called Info on the G drive. So you have to set this up. You can put it on the T drive if you want it to work. You have to put it on, you can put it on the T drive, you can put it on your flash drive, wherever you want to put it, but you've got to set up a location for it to go in. Okay, so I set up this location, and you can see it's on the my G drive, and it's under the file called Info. And when I write it, it's going to say stuf14.txt. Okay, I've got a couple of other versions up there, but the one I'm going to write now is going to go into stuf14.txt, and it's going to go onto my G drive in the folder called Info. Okay? So, what I have got here is I am going to write a file. So I'm clicking on my start, and there's the file that I'm going to write. Okay, so if you look at the code up here, I define something with a dim statement that I call data write. And I could have called it anything. I called it data write. And I said this is string, meaning it's text. And on data write, I want to put the contents of several fields. But I want to separate the fields so I know which one is a different field. So I'm going to use a comma as a delimiter. So I'm saying, take what is in text ID number.txt, concatenate it with a comma. Concatenate it with what's in textname.txt, and concatenate it with a comma. And concatenate what's in textmajor.txt, and concatenate that with those four characters up there, VB, CR, LF, which means carriage control line feed. And basically what it means is I want to go down to the next line. So I will write it, and then I'll move down to the next line so that when I write again, it will be on a clean line. And then it will move down to the next line, and when I write again, it will go on to a new line. Okay? So that's how I set it up. Now I copy and paste this line, my computer file system, write all text up until there, and then I put my path, my address there, as to where I wanted to write. I wanted to write in the directory called Info on the G drive. And then I say, comma, what do I want to write? I want to write data write. And I forgot what true means, but I'm pretty sure it means to go ahead and add if there's something already there. Huh? That's what it does mean? Okay, so go ahead and add if there's something already there. So if there's already records in the table, go ahead and add to it. Okay, so don't erase and start over again. And then I said, okay, now that I've written it, I'm done with it. So I'm going to clear each of the three text boxes, and then I'm going to make my focus in the ID number. My focus means put the cursor there so that people will start using that field. So if I come over here and I write 100 Susan Ash, and she is a CI major, and I click on write, it gets written, the fields get cleared out, and the cursor gets put in there. So now I'll do 200, and 200 is Jim Costa, and CI, and I am going to say write, and it will write it onto the file. And then I'll say 300, Linda French, CI, and I'm writing, and it goes out. So I can keep doing this forever, and I'll make a big file. When I hit end, I'm done. Now, what happens here is I am creating a file, and that's what computing is really all about. It's creating files and then reading the files. So I can store my payroll information, I can store my game scores, I can store my donations, I can store my inventory, and I can store it all in a file. It lets you store on both Access databases and on files. But Access databases is more complicated than I want to get into, so we're just storing on a file. Yeah.
So this is similar to like when programs are registered, right?
Well, this is more writing data.
Yeah.
I'm just writing data. So if I run a company and I want all my employees on a table, then I would set up a form where I can enter the employee names, and it's going to get written on the file. So now I wrote this, and I'm going to, okay, guys, that means you guys, because you're right there.
I'm trying to help him.
Yeah, I know, but I'm also trying to talk, so just wait a minute, because you're sitting right here means that you are... So, there's what I wrote. The 100, comma, Susan Ash, comma, CI. That's what I wrote. 200, comma, comma, and again, it puts in the commas as a delimiter when it writes these. So those are the three records that I wrote, okay? And then now are in the file, and they're there forever unless I do something to them. So I now have copies of all of these. Okay? Questions? Okay. So now I've created a file. So now I want to read this file. So I'm going to close up this, and I am going to go back, and I'm going to say file, and I'm going to save the solution. So save all. And now I'm going to open a project. And the project I want to open is the read.
Yeah.
So I'm now going to open the read. Now, I need to change this to exactly the same as what I wrote. So I wrote stewf14.txt. So I'm now changing this to say stewf14.txt. Because if I wrote it using that name, that's how I need to read it. So it's got to be the same name. Okay?
Is everyone on the same page? Everyone got the read for project?
Well, I need because mine was still coming up.
Okay. I'm just watching. Yeah, no, as long as you watch it, I think you can then load it another time.
Yeah.
But again, the path has to be the same so that it can find the file.
Right.
and the name of the file has to be the same so that it can find the file. Okay? You got to have the right path and you got to have the right name in order for it to do it. Now, the delimiters could be other than a comma. I used a comma when I wrote it. Remember, I put the field comma. So I have to tell it that. So I say, on the form load, and these two lines, which are copy and paste, basically, tell me that the comma is delimiter. Set delimiter. Okay. Now, the name my reader is a name I define. But the rest of this, text field type equals field IO, field type delimited, that's Visual Basic talk. And you just want to copy and paste it, okay? But I put in there that the delimiter is going to be a comma. Now, I could have used a different delimiter. I could have used a slash. I could have used an asterisk. And if I wrote and put, instead of writing the comma, if I'd written a slash, then I have to tell it that the delimiter is a slash. It needs to have to know what is the separator between the fields. And the separator between the fields is called a delimiter. Okay? Questions? Yeah?
You said you copy and pasted those two lines. Where did you copy and paste them
from? From a previous version.
Oh, okay.
So you're going to copy and paste from mine.
From yours. Okay.
Okay.
Is there like a list of commands somewhere and what they do or anything?
Oh, there certainly is.
There is somewhere?
And once upon a time, Visual Basic's help was extremely usable. Mm-hmm. And now Visual Basic's help is totally out of control.
Yeah, a little bit. You have to be like an IT tech.
No, you just have to have a lot of time in your hand and a lot of frustration that you're willing to go through in order to be able to find them. What I would do is if I wanted to set a delimiter, I'd do a search. And I would basically come in and say, Visual Basic,
set
delimiter, and see what it comes up with. Because going through, I, and Pat agrees with me on this, that the help that Visual Basic has to offer, you really need to have time on your hands.
Yeah.
You used to be able to highlight a word and click help, or click a button, and it would come up with an explanation of what that was about.
See, I can't even imagine that now.
Back in the day when computers didn't
exist. Oh, no. Yeah. Their website made sense.
No, it was, you know, it's like a lot of things.
Yeah.
Apparently Google is going through a thing with Gmail right now, I was reading about. And apparently, you know, there is a conflict between the people at Google who were saying, this is horrible, because they use it in a sophisticated way. And the average end user who wants to keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
And so there's this real conflict going on. And, you know, for an awful lot of things, I mean, I have always believed the Word, for example, should have a keep it simple, stupid version. Because I don't use 95% of what Word has there. I use probably less than 5 seconds.
Photoshop that's so sophisticated, you can't even.
And I use, so I'd like to have the dummy version and the other version, and so that I can take the dummy version of Word and just write the document that I want to write. But anyway, we're going off track. So now we come in here, and I've got Dim, my reader. And that's my name, and notice it keeps appearing, okay, because that's my name. Give my reader as new Microsoft Visual Basic file, IO, text file, parser, and you're just going to copy and paste that and then put in the address. Okay? So then I go down and I say, okay, when you click the read button, I want it to go, and I'm defining current row as a string. So when it reads a record, the record is going to go into current row. So I said, if not my reader end of data. So if my reader is hit end of data, it's going to take the else here and put out a label that says end of file reached. If it hasn't, then I'm saying my reader, which I've defined the location up here, read fields and put them into current row. Now I know what the delimiter is. So current row zero is everything before the first delimiter. Take everything before the first comma and put it into text ID. Then take everything after the first comma and before the second comma and put it into text name. And then take everything after the second comma until the end and put it in major. Okay? And it is basically set up an array. We've looked at arrays and we know you have an index that says 0, 1, 2. Behind the scenes, we're not seeing it, but behind the scenes, it's set up an array. If there were 8 fields, the array would go 0 through 7. But I only have 3 fields, so my array goes 0 through 2. And it is basically saying, take the first field, which is the 0th one in the array, take the next field, which is the first one in the array, and take the next one. A lot of programming languages do that. They set up arrays for you that they control and they handle, and this is what they've done here. So if I read, I've now got a record. And if I read again, I've gotten another record. I read again, I got another record. I read again, and then look at the message down there, end of file reached. And you can see that that's the message that I said I wanted to put out. Now, if I go back to my design, notice there is nothing there that indicates that I am going to see a message down here when I run out of data. But if you come over here, the line right under properties, the line right under properties lists all of the fields that are on the form. And label 1 was where I put that, so I'm clicking on label 1. And when I click on label 1, it shows me a teeny tiny little box over here that's where that message is going. Okay? If I click on major, text major, it highlights that. So in other words, it highlights whatever it is that I click on. So I decided to use label 1, and I didn't even give it a decent name. I just left it a label. I decided to use label 1 because it didn't show until it needed it. If I used a text box, there'd be an empty text box down there. That's not what I wanted. I decided I wanted something that didn't show until I needed it to. So I called it label 1. Again, I probably should have called it LBL message or something like that. And so I have label1.text equals end of file reached. And that's the message that goes into the spot that is called label 1. Yes, no, maybe? Okay, we're all done. So now we're going to do the typical thing that we do in here, which is completely change directions. Okay, so we're now going to go and we're going to start looking at numbering systems. I have a handout out here on numbering systems. It's a good 20 years old. But numbering systems haven't changed. However, at the end of that handout, there's some stuff about code, and I said the code information is historical and not current and don't use it, basically. We'll look at code probably on Tuesday, and this reference for ASC will be what we look at for ASCII. So what we've got here is numbering systems and codes, and that's what you'll use as a reference when we're talking about numbering systems, but ignore the part on codes.
because they're old codes. Okay, so numbering systems. Numbering systems are how a computer operates, and it operates on binary. But first we're going to look at decimal. And decimal is base 10, and it has digits that go from 0 to 9. Okay? Now, computers are on-off, right? So that means their numberings are 0 and 1. When you look at a computer code, if you hit the A on the keyboard, it will put a code up that's involving zeros and ones. Nothing but zeros and ones. So you need to know binary. So binary is base 2, which means it has digits that are 0 and 1. And that's it. Okay? And hex, which we'll look at next Tuesday, is base 16. And it has the digits 0 through F. Okay, so base 16 means I need 16 digits. So my 16 digits go 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, A, B, C, D, E, F. And after F, I go to 1, 0. Just like in decimal after 9, I go to 1, 0. In hex, after F, I go to 1, 0. Okay? And then I go 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 4, up to 1, 9, and then it's 1, A, 1, B, 1, C, 1, D, 1, E, 1, F, 2, 0. And that's how I count. So today we're going to look at binary. And in order to do that, I'm also going to talk a little bit about decimal. So we're going to start out and we're going to say, here are the decimal numbers, and here are the binary numbers. And decimal 0 is equal to binary 0. Decimal 1 is equal to binary 1. Decimal 2 don't have anything in binary. So 1 plus 1 more is 1, 0. And we know in decimal that 9 plus 1 is 1, 0. So when we essentially hit the highest number in the numbering system, when we hit the highest number in the numbering system and we add 1 to it, we go over to the next position. So we go over to 1, 0. So 9 plus 1 is 1, 0. Okay? 1 plus 1 in binary is 1, 0 because there's no 2. So 2 is equal to 1, 0. Okay? Now, if you don't know what numbering system you're in, we write down the little 10 at the bottom or the little 2 at the bottom. It tells us what numbering system we're in, so that when people look at a number, they know what system we're in. Now, because we use decimal the vast majority of the time, we don't bother to write the little 10. We just assume that everybody's going to know it's decimal. But if you write a binary number, it's a good idea to put 2 in there, okay? So now I'm going to add, I want to get a 3. So I'm going to add 1 more, and I'm now 0 plus 1 is 1. Bring down the 1. I'm at 1, 1. Okay. Now I want to go to 4. So I'm going to add 1 more. What's that going to be? 20. Nope, no 2s.
Oh.
1,
1, 0?
Yeah. 100. Right. Yeah. Except that you don't call it 100. You call it 100.
Because if you call it 100, that implies something, right? 100 doesn't have that implication.
Oh, yeah, because binary is only one.
That's right. So 1 + 1 is 10. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 + 1 is 10. So 4 is 100. What's 5? 101, I heard somebody say. 5 is 101. What's 6?
1 + 1 = 0.
Yep. 1 + 1, put down the 0, carry the 1, 1, 1. So 6 is 110. What's 7?
1, 1, 1.
That's right. +1 is 111. What's 8?
1000.
Yep. 1 + 1, put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 + 1, put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 + 1 is 10. So 8 is 1000. So that's counting in binary. Questions? Okay. Actually, I didn't want to take a picture of that. That was already there, but anyway. All right, so now I'm going to say, let's talk about how we can go back and forth between binary and decimal, and also talk about positions. Okay, if I have a decimal number, and I have 5, 6, 2, 4. The reason I know what these things are is because of the position that they're in. 10 to the 0 is defined as 1. Everything to the 0 power is defined as 1. 10 to the 1st is 10. 10 squared is 100. 10 cubed is 1,000. So we know that the 6 is 600 because it's in the hundreds position. And we know that the 4 is just 4 because it's in the ones or the units position. And we know that the 5 is thousands because it's in the thousands position. Okay? Well, binary works the same way. In binary, I have my positions, and I put 2 to the 0, 2 to the 1st, 2 to the 2nd, 2 to the 3rd, 2 to the 4th, etc., going out. That's a 4. Okay, 2 to the 4th, going out. So, 2 to the 0 is 1, 2 to the 1st is 2, 2 squared is 4, 2 cubed is 8, 2 to the 4th is 16. Okay, so those are my positional values. Those are my positional values. Okay, so this is the positional value. And this is the face value that I'm going to put in a second. So if I put in a 10110, what I do to find out what it is worth is I multiply face value times positional value. So I'm going to say, okay, starting at either end, 1 times 16. Okay, so 1 times 2 to the 4th, or 1 times 16 is 16. 0 times 8 is 0. 1 times 4 is 4. 1 times 2 is 2. And 1, or 0 rather, times 1 is 0. And when I add these up, I get a 22. And so it's 22 decimal. I have now converted the binary to decimal. And I do that by multiplying the face value times the positional value. Okay, so this is the face value over here. And this is the positional value. And I multiply the two together, and I get an answer. And when I add those answers up, I get the decimal equivalent. So 10110 is 22 in decimal. Questions? By now, I was getting lambasted in the other class with questions. It's funny, they ask lots of questions, you're awfully quiet. How did that happen? Anyway, well, Corey's one of the main reasons it happened. Okay, so, questions. Okay, then that means you all understand, right? So, this is a binary number. I want to turn that into a decimal number. So how am I going to do it? I got to write the positional values underneath, and then I've got to do my multiplication. So do it. So what's the answer?
I hit a button and it went to 149. I was very confused on what happened.
Depends, I guess, on what button you hit.
That's what I was trying to think. It's like
yep. 85 is the right answer. Anybody else get 85? Yeah, John? What? Well, you're going to multiply face by position, which is what you do in decimals. If you have a 5 three digits in, that means it's in the 100th position, right?
What doesn't make sense to me is that if it was 1111111, it would be the same thing. No. Basically,
0 times something is 0.
So how is this?
So, okay, watch. This is 1 times 64 is 64, right? And then it is 0 times 32, which is 0. And then it is 1 times 16, which is 16. And then it's 0 times 8, which is 0. And then it's 1 times 4, which is 4. And then it's 0 times 2, which is 0. And then it's 1 times 1, which is 1. And if I add those up, I'm getting 85 in decimal. I'm getting 85 in decimal. Okay? Does that make sense?
Can we do another one?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone has any questions here?
Yeah, like 1, 2, 1.
Without the calculator, right? When you pass it in to me, you're going to pass me in the work. Which forces you not to use the calculator. You can use the calculator to check, so everything you pass in should be 100.
The JavaScript thing, it's like you've had, there's all my work.
No, you're off. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the last one. Still, that could be it. 1, 3, 11. Well, I'm adding. That's an 8. 10, 11. That's 8. 64. And what did I say? 11 and 64 is 75. Yes. Okay. So, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 positions. Lots of times after I have got going, I stop writing out the 2 to the powers because I know it goes 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, and I'm lazy. So writing out 2 to the 0, 2 to the 1st, 2 to the 2nd starts to get boring after a while. Okay, so I'm writing 1001011. Okay? And I don't have to write these all out because I can just say 64 because I know 1 times something is something. I don't even have to bother with the 0 ones in my list of things to add because why bother to write down 0 twice? So I can write 821. Because anything that has a 0 over it, I'm not, is 0. So I just have to write the ones that have a 1 over it. So I now am at 75. So this is going to be 75 in decimal.
That
is 75 in decimal, just like 75 in decimal always is. It's a conversion.
Oh, okay.
when I create one.
Well, in my narrative, so basically, it was 1-0-0-1-0-1-1.
Okay, guys.
What? I didn't hear you.
Yeah, he said it right. He said that that is 75. Basically, 1-0-0-1-0-1-1 is just 75.
That's right. Yeah. It's just another way of writing 75. Now we're writing it in binary.
Yeah.
Okay. So, now we're going to go the other way. If I have that 75, let's go back this way. If I have that 75 and I didn't know what the binary was, how would I get it? Okay. So, I write down my powers again. That's 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. So what I'm going to do is figure out which of these has to be turned on with a 1 to make 75. What about 128? Does 128 have to be turned on? No, that's bigger than 75. So I can just ignore that, or I can put a leading zero in, whatever you want to do. What about 64?
Possibly.
Not possibly, definitely. Because I'm looking at what can I turn on, what can I turn on that will get me to 75? And I definitely want to turn on the 64. Now, one of the interesting things here is, why do you have to turn on the 64? All of these things down here, 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, add to 63.
Yep.
So therefore, I gotta use the 64. So 75 minus 64 gives me 11 more. So I've got a 1 in there, right? Because I'm using the 64. Do I need the 32?
No.
No. Do I need the 16?
No.
No. Do I need the 8?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I say 8, that leaves me 3, right? So I am using the 8. Do I need the 4?
No.
No. Do I need the 2?
Yeah.
Yes. So 3 minus 2 is 1. So, do I need the 1? Yes. So I subtract 1, and I put a 1 there. So that's the answer, is 01001011.
So you have to write the 0.
No. No, that's what I was just going to say. The leading 0 doesn't have to be written any more than it has to be in any math. Leading zeros are not relevant. So you can just get rid of the reading zero and write that. Okay?
Are you saying it never starts with zero?
Right. Now, I'm going to amend that by saying that one of the reasons we use binary is that computers are ones and zeros. The codes are. And so those are called bits, the ones and zeros. And when you are working with the computer nowadays, if you're using an 8-bit code, you have 8 sequences of 0 and 1s. And if it happens to have leading zeros, they're there, because you need to have 8 bits. 8 bits make a byte. So if you happen to have leading zeros, then those have to be there. But in straight binary, forgetting about computers, in straight binary, leading zeros are never needed. Okay, but sometimes when we have codes, we want to make sure all 8 digits have something in them. And so, therefore, leaving zeros become important. Okay. So, are you all comfortable with this? Do you want to try one more?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, so let's do a big one. Let's do 201. That's Tyler's, okay.
And I'm with that, Brian's.
Okay, yep. Yeah, no, I know Tyler was sitting there. Usually he sits over there. Mm-hmm. Because I'm way ahead. I was running out of time.
Yeah, yeah, you were.
In the other class, and this one, I'm way ahead. I don't know the answer, so you'll have to ask. I haven't figured it out yet.
What did you get?
Okay, what did you get?
I got 1100001001.
Okay, you're getting a lot of nods, so I'd say you got it right.
I got one.
Okay. So this is 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256. Okay, so I don't need the 256, clearly, okay? And if I'm writing these out, I obviously don't have to go any higher than what I need. So I was starting out in 201, I clearly need the 128. And that gives me, what, 73? Okay. So that gives me 73. So I turn on the 128. Okay, what about the 64?
Yep.
So I subtract that, and that gives me 9, right? So 64 I'm using. What about 32?
No.
No. What about 16?
No.
No. What about 8? Yes. Okay, 4?
No.
No. 2?
No, no.
1? Yeah. Okay. So we're all set. Okay. Questions?
You didn't have to start at 256, right?
Start at 128, yeah. I just, once you write a number that's bigger than the number you're looking for, you know you're past the point. I just kind of put it up there to illustrate. But, yeah, once I say, okay, 128, the next one is 256. Wait a minute, that's bigger than what I'm starting with. I don't need that. Forget it.
It's funny because the numbers increase just like megabytes and gigabytes.
Yeah, it's powers of two.
Kilobytes, yeah.
It's powers of two.
It goes 32, 64, 128, 256, 512.
And at some point, you should memorize the 1248. At least that part, because you're just going to find you need it.
2012, right? Yeah. Whatever. No, it's 2024, right?
Oh, yeah.
A gigabyte is 2024. It's 5
megabytes and a gigabyte.
512.
Have a good time, folks.
Yeah. It's 2024. Yeah, no, you're right.
Okay, now we're going to start adding. So, I've got 1101 1110 1010 1011, and I'm going to add these all up. Okay, so 1 plus 1 is 10, right? Because we know that 1 plus 1 is 10. Plus one more is 11. Plus one more is 100. And we just know these keep going, okay? So 1 plus 1 is 10. Plus 1 is 11. Put down the 1, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 10. Plus 1 is 11. Plus 1 is 100. So I put down the 0, and I carry the 10. It was 100, so I put down the 0, carry the 10. 10 plus 1 is 11. Plus 1 is 100. So I put down the 0 and carry the 10. 10 plus 1 is 11. Plus 1 is 100.
plus 1 is 101. So I write down the 101.
The second one is, since you did that right, because so you've got the 1 at the top and then you have, it's 3 at the bottom. So shouldn't it be 1001?
No, 100. 1 plus 1 is 10. Plus 1 is 11. Plus 1 is 100.
Oh, okay. I just...
Okay.
Wasn't... I must have just gone...
So now I can convert these back. And that's why I said you should learn 8421. Because it's just easier, probably 16-2. What is 1101? I want to convert this to decimal. What's 1101?
13.
13. Because the 8 is on, the 4 is on, that's 12, and the 1 is on, that's 13, right? 8421. The 8 is on, the 4 is on, and the 1 is on, so that's 13. What's 111?
7.
7. Because the 4 is on, the 2 is on, and the 1 is on. So that's 7. What is 1010?
10.
10. Okay, you don't get to answer the next one. What's 1011? Huh?
11.
11. Gotta take turns.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one is 3 and 7 is 10 plus 1. Is 11, put down the 1, carry the 1, 41, right? So now I'm going to look and see if this is 41. There's the 1 is on, 2, 4, okay, 8 is on, 16, 32 is on, right? I just wrote down the numbers that I was going to need. I could have written 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, but I just, as I said, I'm lazy. So, 32 plus 8 plus 1 is 41. So I got the right answer. Right? That tells me that I got the right answer. And also, as I said, there are calculators, including the one online, that lets you do binary. When I give you the assignment, you're going to have to pass in the work because I'm not stupid and I know that the calculator's there. Okay? So you are going to have to pass in the work when I give it to you. However, it should be 100 because you should check your work on the calculator and make sure that you've got it right. So these should all be correct. All right? Okay. So, now you're going to do this one.
It's easier to change them before you add.
Yeah, but that, yeah, it is. But it's also just good exercise to get used to the idea of, so that you say it automatically. The one plus, so just automatically saying that is a good thing. It just, one of the reasons we do the adding of this many is just to breathe that kind of comfort with doing, playing around with it. In fact, you're probably never going to have to add more than two numbers. But you might as well add a bunch. Okay, so this one. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0, right? +1 is 1, 1. +1 is 1, 0, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1, 0. 1, 0 plus 1 is 1, 1. +1 is 1, 0, 0. +1 is 1, 0, 1. Put down the 1, carry the 1, 0. If I make a mistake, let me know. 1, 0 plus 1 is 1, 1. +1 is 1, 0, 0. +1 is 1, 0, 1. Put down the 1, carry the 1, 0. 1, 0 plus 1 is 1, 1. +1 is 1, 0, 0. Plus one more is, what am I at? 1, 0, 1. I think that's where I'm at. Is that the answer anybody came out with? Okay.
Yeah.
You did? Okay, so is this one, as we said, was 11. We did that before. This one is 5. This one is 7. What's this one?
1.
No, what's 1, 0, 0, 0?
8.
8. And what's the last one? 8, 4, 2, 1. 15. That's another thing that sooner or later you will memorize, that 1, 1, 1, 1 is 8, 4, 2, 1. Okay, so when I add this up, what have I got? 6, 13, 21, 26, 46.
Yep.
And when I come over here, I've got the 2 on, the 4 on, the 8 on, and the 32, which comes to 46. So I've got it right. Okay. Alrighty, now we're going to subtract. Okay, so I've got 1, 1, 0, 1, 1, and I'm subtracting 1, 0, 1, 0. And that's real easy. 0 from 1 is 1, 1 from 1 is 0, 0, 0, 1. Okay, so that's a piece of cake. Okay? Now, to double check myself, what is 1, 1, 0, 1, 1?
17.
No. 1, 2, 4, 8, 16 is the farthest one out.
49.
No, 8. At least that's not what I'm coming up with.
8. Yes, 17.
Well, we're not doing the answer right now.
Oh.
What is this top one? What is this one?
Oh,
1 and 2 is 3, and 8 is 11, and 16 is 27, right? And what is the one down here? 1, 0, 1, 0, 10. And so 17, and so yes, this one is 17. And again, the 16 is turned on, and the 1 is turned on, so that makes 17. I can also do the same thing that I do in decimal, which is add them back up together. 0 and 1 is 1, 0 and 1 is 1, 0, 1 and 0, 1. I can add them back up and see if I get the original, just like I would in regular decimal. Okay. What did I just do? Blank page. That's what I want. Okay. So now I'm going to put up 1, 0, 0. Let's put another one in. 1, 1.
or let's see. Yeah, I guess that works. Okay. So, 0 from 1 is 1, right? 1 from 1 is 0. 1 from 0 I can't do, so I have to borrow. But I can't borrow from here because that is a 0. So I have to go over one more position. So I'm borrowing, actually, I'm going to do it in a different color because it shows up better. Okay. I have another 1 in there, right?
Yeah, you have 1, you're going to cross it out and make it a 0 to borrow.
Right. So this is a 1 and that's a 1. So, I'm going to cross this out and borrow 1 0, okay? Just like you do in decimal. And then I'm going to say, no, that's not where I want it. I want it over the next place. So I'm going to borrow 1 from that, leaving 1 behind. And I have now 1 0. So 1 from 1 0 is 1. 0 from 1 is 1. Okay, and 1 from, I now have a 0 here, 1 from 0 I can't do, so I need to borrow, okay, and I have 1 0, 1 from 1 0 is 1. So if I add these up, 0 plus 1 is 1, 0 plus 1 is 1. 1 plus 1 is 1 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 0 plus 1 plus 1 is 1 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 1 1. So these two are the same. Now if I want to convert, what's 1 1 0 0 1 1? And what is 10110?
22.
Yep. And so what's the difference between 51 and 22?
29.
So now let's see if this is 29. Okay. I've got the 1, 2, not 4, 8, 16, so 16 and 8 is 24, and 4 more is 28, and 1 more is 29. So that is equal to 29, jump right in. It's equal to 29, and those are the same. So therefore, I got it right. Okay. So I'm going to have you try one of those, and then we will call it quits.
What'd you get?
50.
Anybody else get 50?
At the first line being 69, the second line being 19.
Second line is a 19.
Yeah, 16 plus 2 and 1.
8 plus 2 and 1. So what are people getting for an answer? What have you got? 26. Anybody got 26? Yes, 26. Yes, 26. Huh? 26. Okay. So, 1 from 1 is 0. 1 from 0 I can't do, so I need to borrow. That leaves 0 there and 1 0 here. 1 from 1 0 is 1. 0 from 0 is 0. 1 from 0 I can't do. I have to come all the way over here to borrow. That becomes 0. That becomes 1, 0. 1, 1, 0. 1 from 1, 0 is 1. Okay? And then nothing, 1. Okay, so I've got 1, 2, 2, and 2, and 8, and 16 are equal to 26. And 1, that's 5, and 32 is 37, minus 8 and 11 is 26. Okay. All righty, we are done. If you are interested in the speech, they're going to be coming in here around 2:00.